Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Our Father, thank you so much for your word, and Lord, we're very grateful that we have it in our language. We pray that you'd help us to understand it this morning as well as apply it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in October, some said that Hurricane Sandy was the perfect storm. There was not only a hurricane going on, but there was a high pressure block in front of Greenland that prohibited the storm from going out to sea as it normally does. There was a low pressure area coming from the west. There was Arctic air coming from the north. And there was a high tide, or a full moon, and the highest tide in the month. So it was what was considered a perfect storm. And obviously those elements together intensify the effects. You know, as we read the word of God and we our country, we think of our world, and as we look at the Word of God, we get information about the spiritual battle that we're facing. And Satan's strategy is always to lie. In fact, God's Word tells us that he is a liar. You look at Genesis chapter 3, it starts right there as he lied to Eve. And Jesus calls him a liar in chapter 8, verses 44. That he is the liar and the father of lies. But he doesn't lie outrightly most of the time. He hides the truth, suppresses the truth, distorts the truth, but he makes it believable. And he propagates that stuff through very influential people. As believers in Christ, we have, according to Colossians 2, verses 3 to 7, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. And this is our Savior. We are in Christ if we know Jesus as our personal Savior. And all this is yours, if you know him. God's work is active in our lives, again, coming from Colossians. But as we look at the passage before us in chapter 2, verse 8, we see that the world has no answers. But people think that the answers are with the educated, the rich, the good-looking, the politicians, the scientists, and many other people. And in fact, they're only traps. As you look at Colossians 2:8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive." There's the trap, through empty, deceitful philosophy, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There are two ways. Let's not make a mistake. There's not multiple ways out there. There's either the world's way or there's God's way. And we have to understand that. It's very important. Now, you've heard me say that we are dropped behind enemy lines. God has us here. Why are we still on earth? If you ask the question, our mission is to be a disciple of Jesus, to make disciples for Jesus, and to reflect God's character, and we need to wear the armor of God for our protection. This is not for the faint of heart. We stand against the devil's schemes, and we've heard about some. And oh yes, there's another thing. As Paul said in the verse that we just read, avoid capture. See to it, beware, be careful, avoid. See that no one takes you captive through empty, deceitful philosophy. Now, this is not the word, the love of wisdom, that we normally think of when we think of philosophy. This word in the original language actually means instruction and ideas that come either from writing or from oral communication from the minds of men. Here's the battle. If we think like the world thinks, we will do what? Act like the world acts. And we will be counterproductive for the kingdom of God. That counterproductivity is not neutrality. It's not that we're just doing nothing. We are actually counterproductive for the kingdom of God if we are thinking like the world thinks and acting like the world acts. So it's very important that we have the right attitudes and the right actions. There is a perfect storm out there that has captured the minds of the world. This is not future science fiction. This has actually already happened. This is the way the world is right now. Many of you probably know the name Charles Darwin. He wrote the book Origin of the Species, and it changed science forever. We have so-called science today, but it doesn't look like science that was based on investigation and experimentation. There is a predisposition and an assumption that evolution is true and fact. And when Darwin wrote his book, it began punching holes in the Bible because Christians were thinking, how could the Bible be reconciled to science? And we don't want to look like fools, so we better adopt science and jettison the Bible. Well, they became fools with that attitude. And unfortunately, it changed man's view of man. No longer do evolutionists and most of the world see people in God's image. They see people that have evolved from lower forms of life. And it had morphed over into social evolution that man continues to get better and better until he achieves perfection. Now, hopefully you see something wrong with that immediately. Are we growing better and better? Boy, it seems like the world's getting worse and worse. But this was what Darwin taught. Soren Kierkegaard was a Danish man, never worked a day in his life because he was left a huge estate by his father. Now this, you note by the dates, is a pre-Civil War man. But his writings really weren't discovered until after or around World War II. And basically what he was saying in that word existentialism simply means human freedom and what exists at the moment. Only the present matters. There is only one moment now without cause, which is the past, or consequence, which is the future. You get that? You live for right now. And it has fostered selfishness. In fact, you've heard this over and over again. The only right is what is right for you. And the rest of that statement, the only wrong is that which produces pain or inconvenience for you. So you measure everything around who? Around you. It is a small and very selfish world. Now the bait is that you can have freedom from everything. And it sounds like fun for a while, but the consequence and the effects on yourself and the others around you and society in general is horrendous. Soren Kierkegaard, your freedom. Now, you probably have heard of Karl Marx. He is the father of the social revolution and socialistic communism. His goal was to form a classless, perfect society, a utopia. He saw no creator, therefore man has no soul. Only material things exist. Now, the theory that everyone is equal and willing to help one another might be great on paper, but the reality of it, the socialistic and communistic governments of the world, ever since they were started after Marx, have ruled like the Tyrannosaurus Rex on steroids. Right? They have been horrendously evil and wicked to people at every turn. Julius Wellhausen began Christian liberalism. Now, these guys don't start out with a label. This is the label we put on afterwards. And Christian liberalism meant that human reason trumped God's revelation. I'm giving you the thimbleful information because I want you to see the effects of all of these men together. Again, you see them, many of them born in the late 1800s. He said that the Bible was a collection of community stories and myths, and the concept of God evolved over the time to what the Jews adopted as monotheism, or one God. You catch that? Evolution. So Darwin's evolution ideas began to come in not only to society, but also into religion. And because he was a German religious man, this Julius Wellhausen, Germany was a fertile field for this kind of rationalization. But as soon as you set human mind that would trump God's revelation, you flip it around and God becomes the servant and man becomes what? God. I remember Ravi Zacharias saying, as soon as God is dead and God is gone, man takes his place. It happens at every turn. And Julius Wellhausen did that. So the Bible and God evolved in the course of human history. And since miracles don't really fit with reason and science, we disregard God's book. All of the mainline denominations in the United States became liberal in the early 1900s because of this idea and moving in that direction. The Bible was simply a good book if you wanted it to be. God was everybody's father. Man was basically good, and that kind of lent itself to evolution. Sin were the problems in society. The mission of the church was to resolve those problems in society, and there you have it. Religious liberalism. You've probably heard of Sigmund Freud and the sex is everything. You've heard of psychoanalysis. This came from Sigmund Freud. He was the forerunner to the sexual revolution that blew up in the 60s. And some of you remember that, not necessarily him, because he was before a good many of our time. He said there is no God. People's problems were basically from inhibiting the sex desires. Well, if you flip that around and you've got all the sexual freedom, where are we now? We are farther and farther down the track than we've ever been with sexual perversion, pornography, and all sorts of stuff going on. I just read this week that there's a bill out in the California legislature that wants to yank the tax exemption from the Boy Scouts because of their stand on homosexuality right now. You know, that is going to have a chilling effect on everyone who wants to believe that homosexuality is wrong, including us as a church. Now, I don't really care about tax exemptions. We're going to stand for the truth, whether we have tax exemptions or not. You can, you can believe that. That's immaterial. My point, though, is that as soon as you see things moving in this direction, where you've got laws moving and controlling morality in the wrong ways, we are in greater trouble than ever before. Do you see the perfect storm? Sigmund Freud. We're 90 years past his life, and we see the sexual permissiveness and the results of that. And what Marley was talking about this morning, because if you've got more sex, you have more pregnancies, more STDs, and so on, we are in big trouble. John Dewey, one of the foremost educators, very influential educator out of Britain, he said, the role of schools is to produce social change, not to educate. There is no absolute truth. Experience is the most important. If man is no longer a sinner, all he needs is education and inspiration to see the flame of possibility burning brightly. Now, this is a big issue, because if the schools are not to be places of education, but places of social change, what's going on? You've got the schools funded and pushed by the government to produce social change. And with all due respect to the teachers that we have here in our church and those of you who are in the public arena, this is what's going on. You may have a good testimony. You may have your values and your morals right, but you're up against a system whose intent to change kids' lives to go in a direction that the government wants to go into. We have to realize the intent of public education at every level, and even in the private education as well. Now, if you're in the system, and many of our students are in the public system today, you can survive, you can stand, but you've got to be strong, you've got to stay close to the Lord and to debrief monthly or weekly with people who can help you unload the stuff that you're learning and integrate it, or not integrate it, but to measure it against the Scripture. I would encourage you to do that. It is totally a man-centered approach. And if we have progressive education and the schools are the change agents for primarily doing what the government and the people whose values are behind this, we need to be paying attention. Do you see how you can get caught? Now, Albert Einstein came up with a theory of relativity in physics, and that's that E equals mc squared. You probably recognize that formula. Now, that was in physics and science. The problem was it morphed over to everything is relative, and you moved into social relativism where there is no absolutes and no truth. Einstein never intended that. He just simply came up with a scientific theory. People have taken that and whacked out the absolutes. We have nothing to stand on today if we're not careful. Now, remember, social relativism with no absolute truth, and Kierkegaard, who said freedom, human freedom, live for this moment, and this is why we have people living the way we live today. John Keynes was the foremost and very influential in the world as far as economy. He was an economist. And he said that the government must control the economy by putting money into it, even if it must borrow to do so. And that's why we are trillions and trillions of dollars in debt right now. The debt is unpayable. Don't buy this idea that we can pay this back and we're moving it to the backs of our children and grandchildren. We are generations. We are light years into the future as far as the debt. And it goes back to John Keynes. He also, and the people around him, and even today, see the government as God, because if they are the ones putting the money into the government, or putting the money into the economy so that people can stay working, it moves in that direction. So that's where we are today as far as the perfect storm. Now, those are the men behind it. They're all dead now. But you see how they have come together. All these influences together create the perfect storm in today's world. If you look at it this way, that Darwin's evolution, human freedom, the classless society, the Christian liberalism, the no God, no Bible, relative sexual freedom and debt, and using public education as the change agent, plus the government laws that move people in the wrong direction, activist courts, silent churches, believers living worldly lives, and fast media, a la the internet and everything else that's going on there. What did we wind up with? We wind up with a sin-sick world. You didn't need me to tell you that this morning, but that's how we got there. Boy, we are right on the cusp of being the generation that is right before or right at the days of Noah and the Lord's coming. Now, we say amen to the Lord's coming, but, you know, the world affects us. We live here, don't we? This is how we got here. And it's very important that we understand that we, even as believers, can be taken captive and held captive by the deceitful ideas of men. I'm saddened every time I hear the idea that God used evolution to create the world. That's nonsense. You know, we are trapped financially if we as families are in debt. We're doing the same thing, spending more than we take in. That's not a biblical concept, and we see that in the world. But this is how we can be trapped by the deceitful ideas of men, and we're held captive. Remember, the battle is if we think like the world thinks, we will act like the world acts. Are we held captive by the world's thinking? Evolution says that people have no value, and I can treat each other's other people abusively, and animals are as important as people, and any number of things. I'm simply the product of my genes and my environment, and I just have happened. You know what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are new creatures in Christ if we trusted Christ as our Savior. We are not products of evolution. We are created in the image of God. Even though we've had sinful past, God can make us new. We have a God on the throne. The human freedom that life is about me now. Well, where does that get you? That gets you into a selfish, proud, and angry mode most often, doesn't it? I mean, most of us have lived there, and we've tried that angle, and we're not real pleased with that. But that's what human freedom's all about. And we see that going on now as well. The social revolution, that the man can change the world to a perfect society that we all want. Boy, I don't think so. Man has done nothing but upset things and go in the wrong direction. Who wants to follow that? And there's no such thing as a perfect society until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. We look forward to that. Christian liberalism, that the Bible is not reliable, it's simply an old book, and God's not relevant. And, you know, if you stop and think about what's taking place, it used to be that Christians up to. These are the people with the answers. These are the people that had the morality. And by and by, as science and evolution and all these things came in, Christians became more the people who were being laughed at. And, you know, you were the fuddy-duddies. You really don't know what's going on. You were the uneducated. And you were the people who lived the poor lives. And now people are mocked, and pretty soon the believers are hated, and we are rapidly in this country moving toward people being tossed in jail for their beliefs. You see it around the world. Why would it not happen here if our laws are moving in the direction that they're moving? We are held captive when we see sex as everything. There's recreational sex, homosexuality, pornography, and the idea that people are saying and trapping us by is that it doesn't hurt anybody. It's a private thing. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a lot of difference. We've been watching the DVD by Chip Ingram on Wednesday nights, and he was talking about this just the other night, that it does affect everybody. In fact, he used a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that when you sin sexually, you're sinning against your own body. It does affect other people as well. We are humans, and we have relationships. It is not a private thing. But you know, just from the commercials, how much it is trapping. Sex is like crack cocaine in the wrong way. It is instantly addicting, and people can go right down the tubes in the wrong way if they don't have their morals biblically based. Humanistic education, that man is the beginning and the end and the measure of everything, and we see that taking place, and we get trapped with that as well, thinking that by sending our kids to school we're giving them a good education. That's not the case. You need to really be paying attention if your kids are in the public school system. They need to be paying attention. Teens, you need to be paying attention to what's going on and being careful about what you're learning. And then the deficit spending, taking in or spending more than you're receiving, and everybody carrying debt. You know, that would be the thing to do. And yet, what has it done to our society? It's broken marriages, broken families. It has distorted our ideals and ideas when we are relating to one another. So here's the summary. Satan's scheme is to lie but make it seem true. Remember, he doesn't make dollar bills purple. The counterfeit is as green as can be and looks good. It is bait, it is attractive, but it is hollow. The world's thinking and the ways will always leave us empty and hurt with regret every time, and yet we fall for it every time, don't we? You know, that's the thing that is so striking to us. How many times have we sinned, gotten in trouble, and yet we go back and we do it again thinking it won't, I can get by with it this time. There is that mentality in our sinful minds that we can escape, we can get by, and God says, no, you can't. You will harvest what you reap. God's answers are found in Jesus, and we're going to get to Colossians 2, 9, and 10 next week as we talk about the fullness of deity dwells in Christ and that we are complete in Him. The thing I want you to remember is not just that summary, but remember the battle. If we think like the world thinks, we will act like the world acts. Remember, the perfect storm out there will really sink us if we aren't paying attention, if we don't stand firm in Christ. We're going to be talking about the book of Hebrews today in the adult Sunday school class downstairs in the Bible survey. And one of the verses, the writer of Hebrews said, we need to encourage one another daily, lest any of us, he's talking to believers, lest any of us be hardened by the deceitfulness, the trickery, the craftiness of sin. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can encourage one another to stand strong in the midst of this perfect storm of ideas out there that has altered the world drastically. Father, we pray for the young people, the children, our college students, that you would protect them with what they're learning, that as adults we not get snookered into thinking the world's ways. Father, help us to really anchor ourselves in your word. We thank you that you're a God who is still at work in the world. And Father, please help us to remember our mission of being disciples, winning disciples, reflecting your character in Jesus' name. Amen.